Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Honor. I appreciate it. I'm glad that everyone could share this time with me this afternoon. As Honor said, I previously was the grant manager for the Wallace grant that we had in Prince George's County Public Schools. I am currently the senior project manager of the USDE Teacher Leader School Incentive grant, which is a perfect tie-in for the work that I did with Wallace, because with the Wallace grant, we looked at how to develop a pipeline to have high-quality principals in schools. And with this particular grant, the TLS grant, I'm focusing on how do we recruit and retain high-quality teachers in high-need schools, as well as preparing the principals for that work inside of these high-need schools. So it's a perfect alignment. So transitioning to this role has been fun for me. Today I will talk about what Prince George's County Public School did as a Wallace School District to develop a pipeline of quality leaders using the Wallace Five, as we fondly call it, and that is the five practices of effective principals. I hope that one of the things that you will gain from this presentation is that there is an understanding between the connection of getting and having high impact principals with the type of training that you offer them, or being very intentional about how you bring potential principals into the pipeline. So that's one of the major rocks that I hope that you take away from this training today. Next. To start us off, we put a question in this first slide. What do you hope to learn from this presentation? And with that question, I hope that you can respond in the chat box and just type in a few things that you hope to learn from this particular presentation, or any takeaways that you want to utilize as you go back into your buildings and in your everyday practice. So take a moment to just type those things into the chat box.
And if I can make a correction, it's typing it into the question box.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So we'll give you a couple minutes to do that. So Damaris, as we're waiting for folks to write in their responses to that question, how long have you been working on this project? How many years has it been?
So with the Wallace grant, that was 5 years. With the USDE grant that we just currently received, that started in October of 2017, but I've been on the job officially as the senior project manager in February of 2018.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So everything is still fresh in my mind, and again, I'm utilizing and leveraging a lot of the things that we did with the pipeline development in developing this teacher leader pipeline as well with the USDE grant.
Wonderful. So we have a couple of responses in already. Candace writes that she'd like to have more knowledge about what the five practices are. What are the five practices? And then Sheila would like to learn about the quality and skills to develop in an aspiring leaders. What quality and skills should be developed in aspiring leaders? So is there anyone else? Type it in now, or we'll just move on. Oh, Amy has submitted effective mentoring for aspiring principals and new principals.
Great. These are great questions.
Mm-hmm. For a Monday afternoon?
Exactly. Well, I think I'm going to get to, I'm glad that they were able to share, and I think I'm going to get to all of these questions in my presentation. And specifically right now, I think I'm going to honor two of the questions. What are the five practices? A little more detail around that. And also quality skills and development that's necessary for aspiring leaders. Right now on the screen, we have the five effective practices. So I'm going to spend a moment or two just kind of reviewing what those are. I do want to recommend that you take a look at the article, The Effective Principal. It can be found on learningforward.org, and it talks about the Wallace Five, the ones that are on this screen, as well as you can go to thewallacefoundation.org, and you can read in detail several of their communications around the five effective practices and their longstanding work with leadership, school leadership. Okay, to jump right in, so the five practices are listed, and what I want to do is just spend a little bit of time on each one of them so we can make sure that everyone understands what those mean. So shaping a vision, what we're asking is that for effective leaders to be able to collaborate on a developing an effective vision for their schools. And when I say collaborate, that means work with school leaders, work with the staff, and work with even community leaders and parents to develop a mission and vision that's going to drive the work of that school and develop the high standards and the success for all students. So it's really about them being able to pull folks together to talk through what does it mean for this school to have high standards? What does it mean for this school to want academic success for students and be able to verbalize that and put that into a communication that's going to drive all of the work to come? One of the things that we do know about that is that, again, a lot of time is not spent on training principals on how to do that. Most of you in the audience right now have gone through an admin one course, your certification, or you've gone through a master's in educational leadership, and then you've gone on to take the administrator exam to get your licensure as an administrator. And in a lot of those experiences, no one has actually sat down with you and has taught you how do I develop a mission and vision for my school building. And so a lot of that comes when you become more or less a pre-service administrator, and then it gets, I'm sorry, pre-service, it becomes a in-service administrator, and we get to how do you mentor and what are some of the key levers of mentoring, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. Creating a climate hospitable to education. Another piece is that we found with developing the skill sets of principals is that we train them a lot on the technical but not the transformational. So, again, how do you set a culture in your building that is going to allow for collaboration amongst your teachers, collaboration amongst your leadership team members, so that you have this environment that's conducive to creativity, to change, to transformation, to sharing of information, which we all know will impact and activate for student success. So those are the things that we're looking for in a principal to be able to do in a school building. And just exactly how do you do that? I think that's part of the pieces that come into what training do you offer a principal once he or she is in service. Cultivating leadership in others. Another space that I think we want to really focus on is how do you coach others. Being a great teacher doesn't mean that you have all of the facets of how to become a great leader. And we know that leaders are able to build other leaders. And that comes through coaching. And that comes through guiding. And so one of the other areas that we want to focus on when we're developing effective principals is how do you do that? And there's two sides to that. There's the technical, again, and then there is the transformational. And that goes through modeling and conversation and all of those kinds of things. And then it does go through where you need to make sure that they know how to do the technical side of being a, doing the technical side of the work of a principalship. But it, just being able to develop other leaders in your building is really a primary role for effective principals. Currently in school buildings. And then improving instruction. How do you do that? A lot of principals have gone through the training of turnaround schools and changing, school change and all of those things. But how do you manage and monitor instruction throughout your building so that those things can happen. And there's a couple of things that we've done in Prince George's County to ensure that principals are spending time in instruction and spending time with teachers, coaching them around in effective instructional practices. Again, some of those things may have been touched on in your coursework, becoming a, you know, getting your credentials to become a principal, but not a lot of time has been spent historically on teaching principals how to do that. And again, sometimes people say, well, they were a great teacher and the assumption is that they'll just become great principals through osmosis maybe, but there's a lot more to it than just that. Giving principals the opportunity to shadow and watch and model or to have it modeled for them, how do you strive for changing instructional practice and guide instructional practice in your buildings? Those are some areas that we find that were not really focused on once they became in service or even in their pre-service. And so we tried to do a lot. We tried to do a lot more with that. And last but not least, managing people, data, and processes. Huge piece, and this really falls into, again, my current role where we talk about recruiting and retaining teachers. So managing people well, collecting the data and the processes that go along with schools and the human capital processes is an area, again, that I feel that we assume that if you get into the principal's role, you'll automatically know how to do that. Unfortunately, that's not been the case in our work. So we've been very intentional about working with our in-service APs and our in-service principals to get to the point of where they have a better understanding of how do I manage my human capital? How do I ensure that my employees are engaged in the day-to-day work of the building? How am I collecting my school data and utilizing that in a way that's going to be effective? And how are my processes embedded into the culture of my building so that even when I'm not there as the school principal, everything will run smoothly? So that's, again, some space that we know that may not have been deeply embedded in your training coming out of university programs and so forth and so on. And so, therefore, we've spent a lot more time around that in our training with our principals. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how we did that. So as I've gone over the five effective practices, I'm hoping that I was able to give some more clarity on what those five practices are. And I hope I touched on the quality or identifying some of the skills that are necessary for a individual who is striving to be an effective principal. And Anna, I want to pause and just give a moment of reflection or give a moment of if someone wants to ask a specific question around the five effective practices.
Sure.
I want to be able to do that.
We initially had a question about, can you just mention that website again where they can find it? I said I got Learning Forward, and is that
www.learningforward.org.
Okay.
You should able to locate the title is The Effective Principal, and they mentioned the Wallace Five in here as well, or you can just Google Wallace Foundation, and they have a website, and then there is a learning website or resources tab on there. If you click on that, you can find a ton load of information on pipeline work, developing principles, and you'll find even their 2011, which I think this is when that came out, their 2011 document that really speaks in depth about the five effective practices of principles.
Wonderful. And then another person had asked about, will you in your presentation be able to provide some specific examples of how you've improved instruction for the improving instruction one? Do you have any?
Sure. I can talk about some structures that we put in place for all principals or all schools in our district that came out of some of this particular work.
Awesome.
So I'll talk about that.
Any other questions? If you have any right now, if you could just type them into the question box and we'll make sure those get covered as well. Nope, I think we're good.
Okay, next slide. So before we move forward, I know I've been speaking to you about the Wallace Principal Pipeline Initiative, and we call it the PPI for short. So I thought that it would be appropriate at this time to give you some feedback on what that is, and how did Prince George's County Public Schools become involved. So back in 2011, the Wallace Foundation identified the need for looking at how school systems could build a pipeline to the principalship. With that being said, they put forth on this journey regarding the Principal Pipeline Initiative. There were six urban school districts that were invited to apply for this particular grant, and Prince George's County Public Schools was one of them. We were awarded the grant in 2011, and it was a five-year sustainability grant. And what I mean by that is that part of the work of myself and the project director, which is Dr. Douglas Anthony. He's the associate superintendent of the Office of Talent Development here, was to develop a sustainability plan, meaning as we were going through the grant, we also had to be thinking about how are we going to sustain this work of building this principal pipeline. So we received the $12.5 million over the lifetime of the entire grant. At this time, the grant has sunsetted. It ended in 2016, and we were happy that we were able to accomplish all of our goals utilizing those four major components of the grant. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what those are. And I'm going to try to directly align some of these elements to the practices and speak a little bit more in depth about specific things that we did to ensure that our principals, or I should say the individuals that were coming into the principal pipeline were going to have a foundation around those five practices. Because as you know, right, you just don't learn all of this stuff one time and then you get good at it. It's ongoing professional learning that you have to offer. So the first major component was leader standards. One of the things that Wallace found and that we found in the work of developing principles was that we had to have clear standards. What would be the competencies that we wanted individuals entering into the principalship to have? And so with that, we took a look at the ISLIC standards, which was the ISLIC standards, and they have now been revised, and they're the PISO standards. But we used the ISLIC at the time to help us to guide our own PGCPS leader standards, which was specific to us because as an urban district, we had some unique needs, and we were looking for some skills and principles that would be able to address those unique needs. And so within those leader standards, you could find the competencies around those five practices. We needed individuals who could do all of those things, be able to develop and shape a vision of a school, cultivate leadership in others, be able to coach, improve instruction, and manage people, data, and processes. So we made sure that within those leader standards, those particular things were embedded in those things. Again, Sometimes the expectation is that if you were a great teacher, you just automatically would know that. And we recognized early on that that was not the case, so we needed to make sure that we were clear around the standards. The standards drove the development of all of our programs after that. So that means that every program that we put in place for teacher leaders who wanted to become an AP, assistant principals who wanted to become principals, we made sure that those leader standards were part of every single program that we developed. So I hope that brings some clarity around the importance of a standard and why that they needed to be there. And I'm going to ask you to ask yourself and think about that. Am I clear on my district's leader standards? Do I know what is expected of me and what are the competencies I should have as an effective principal? And you just keep that question in your mind as you go through the rest of these rest of the presentation. And then we focused on pre-service. So what do I mean by pre-service? What we did with pre-service, we took a look at what programs were we offering our teacher leaders who wanted to move into school administration, and what program were we offering our assistant principals who may have wanted to move, who when they were ready would be moving into the principalship. So we took a long, hard thought around that, and we looked at who our partners were, and we said, how could we be more intentional about what we want from our partners to help us in developing programs that would have the impact that we wanted to have on our incoming leaders. And so we took our leader standards, and we went to several of our university partners. To be honest, we only had one at the time. And we asked our university partner if they would be willing to adopt the leader standards so that they can be more intentional about the courses that they offered our incoming teacher leaders who were working on getting either an admin certification one or working on getting a master's in educational leadership. And we wanted to make sure that embedded in those programs, they were focusing on the things that we needed when these individuals started to apply for positions, instructional lead positions in our district, an assistant principal's position or principal's position later on down the road. And most of our university partners, we started with one and we grew into, at this point, I think we have close to 20-something university partners with a variety of different, who addresses a variety of different needs in our district. They all agreed to adopt our leader standards and make sure that some of their course content touched on these things that we said at the end of the day we need our leaders to be able to do and do well. And part of that discussion led us to developing specific programs within our Admin One certification programs that would help to build the capacity of these teacher leaders. So we started with one, just a regular general program that just had all of the elements of what was needed to obtain your certification Admin One. And then we started off with developing an urban leadership Admin One that focuses on the challenges and the specific needs of administrators entering in the principal pool around urban learning. And then we asked about STEM. We knew that that was something in our district that we needed, so we partnered with another university around developing an Admin One program for STEM leadership. And then we did one for teacher leadership, which said if a teacher leader wanted to get their Admin Certification One but still wanted to remain in a teaching position but offer more to their administrative team as far as leadership, they could take that course. So, again, we became more intentional about the skill sets we wanted. So with the universities looking at the leader standards, with the universities now looking at training up potential assistant principals and principals with the lens around those specific areas, we offered those programs. And then once they became assistant principals, we offered a 2-year training for all assistant principals once they became you know, an assistant principal. Year one, we focused on, again, the five practices, more specific on how to do those particular things that we were talking about. How do you cultivate leadership? How do you improve instruction? How do you manage people? And so forth and so on. And within those, within that 2-year program, they looked at all of those things in depthly. As an assistant principal, from the lens of an assistant principal. They also engaged in monthly systemic meetings. And then from there, we would select maybe about 8 to 10 high-flying assistant principals, and we would put them in our Aspiring Leaders program from Student Success. And these would be, this would be the group of assistant principals that we would look at more closely for the next selection of principals. So you had 2 years in our Assistant Principals Leadership Academy, and if you did extremely well there, we selected you to be in our ALPS program, which I use the acronym, but it's Aspiring Leaders Program for Student Success. And we developed that in partnership with another nonprofit organization that we worked with closely for 1 year. And that's a 1-year program, and it speaks specifically to some of the things that we talked about. So these particular principals had an opportunity to shadow a principal, had an opportunity to have conversation with other leaders on a regular basis, would do case studies. So they had more of an intentional training in order to build their competencies and skill sets around becoming a principal. So, again, this was all done while they were still in the assistant principal's seat. Another pre-service program that focused really on building the capacity of the assistant principal was our resident principal program. And that's a 1-year residency where for the first half of the school year, an assistant principal would be able to shadow a principal, learn all he or she can, and then for the second half of the school year, that particular assistant principal would leave the building with the support of the instructional director, which is the principal supervisor. That principal is then pulled out of that building to allow that resident principal to have full authority to lead that building while being supported, and that principal is taken someplace else. But again, all with the intentions of giving them opportunity to learn on the job and to be able to do these things while in training so that they can get, they can have practice in how do I speak to teachers? How do I coach? How do I go ahead and make sure that I'm spending the appropriate amount of time in classrooms observing teachers and being able to give quality feedback to teachers and so forth and so on. So those are some of the specifics around what pre-service programming should look like and what some of the things it should be focused on as a pre-service principal, which is what we call an assistant principal. So currently I've talked about what should happen for teacher leaders who are interested in coming into a pipeline to be considered for an assistant principalship. And then I've talked about what it looks like for assistant principals and what they would think, what training would look like as they go in to possibly becoming a principal around the five practices. So that kind of just sums up those two bullet points. Honor, I don't know, should I pause 1 minute or should I keep moving?
Well, yes, if you would. It's very exciting stuff. I have a question myself. It sounds like this was a bigger partnership than just your district. You worked with universities and other providers. Did you do the training or did the university partners do the training?
So the university partners offered the courses. So a part of becoming a obtaining your certification so that you can be considered for an assistant principal, you have to take 15 credit hours. So when we went out to the universities to ask them to partner with us, we shared with them our leader standards, and we said, is it possible for you to include these as you are developing your coursework for this admin one. We know that our teacher leaders are coming to you to get this admin certification. So we want to make sure that you understand what our expectations are for anyone who's trying to become an assistant principal or principal. So you're right. It was twofold. You know, they knew that they needed to hear what we had to say because they wanted to go ahead and produce folks that we could use, as well as they needed to have a better understanding of what our expectations were. So we were able to add that information and give that to the universities. So the courses came out of the universities, and we did not do any of the coursework. Now, one of the good things we did do in all of these partnerships, if we had individuals in Prince George's County who qualified to be an adjunct, our employees could teach some of these courses at the university or college that were our partners at the time.
Wow, that's awesome. Did you run into any challenges in implementing all of this? Did you get with a year or 2 years?
There's always challenges. Again, I said we started with one. So one of the challenges were just to make sure that people, wanted to work with us. And so we had to be clear in our messaging on what we wanted and what our expectations and what the goals was. And at the end of the day, it was to really produce quality instructional leaders for our children in Prince George's County and for our staffs in Prince George's County. So I think that was one of the things. And then being able to be flexible and understand that the universities also had to address some of their guidelines and what they're allowed to do within the university development of courses and so forth and so on. So it was really a true partnership because we both had to be flexible with some of the stipulations and some of the requirements that we both had to adhere to. But in the end, like I said, we're now up to 20 plus partnerships, so it all worked out well.
Wonderful. Carol had written a question, I think, earlier on, and I don't know if this relates to the leadership standards or the five core, on is there any current research that relates to those topics? Is there any updated research that you know of?
On the five practices?
Five practices, yes, I believe.
If you go to the Wallace, I can't talk about Learning Forward, but if you go to the Wallace Foundation, so every year of this particular grant that we had, there was a report put out. We were part of our work as a PPI district was that we participated in the five-year study that was conducted by Policy Studies and RAND. RAND did the cost analysis of developing a pipeline for school systems so you could actually see some information on how much did it actually cost to develop this. And then you could also see some research on the year-to-year. So we have put out a information booklet every year since 2011. So there should be a 2013, a 2014, and the final, and even a 2015, I believe, the final research report is supposed to come out later on this winter, if I'm not mistaken. So there is more updated information on all of this work on the Wallace Foundation website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Anybody else, if you have any questions, now's the time to put them into the question box and we will get to you.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. I don't see anything right now. You can probably move on.
Okay, great. So selective hiring. And I know that one of the things that we struggled with was being more intentional about our placement of principals. So, and being able to identify principals for the best fit school. And so we put some more time and effort into that as well, as far as developing a rigorous selection process for our folks who were in the principal pipeline. Part of that is that they took the Gallup Principal Insight Exam, and then they participated in an application process that was developed by our district. On top of that, Then there was an opportunity for them to be interviewed by the community, the school community. And then looking at all of those things, trying to place a principal in a learning environment that was the best fit for his or her experience prior to this role as a principal. And so we spent a lot of time on doing that. And again, the first, it was trial and error. The first opportunity may not have been the first experience. We didn't get it all done the first time, and we revamped it a couple of times since then. And I think at this point now, looking at it 5 years, 6 years later, we have a process that we're very proud of that we feel is really helpful in pulling in the right individuals and placing them at the right schools and making sure that they are addressing all of the things. So one, we have a paper application. We have a review of all the employee references. I told you they take the principal insight. There's a self-assessment inventory that they do, and then they participate after going through the community reviews and all of that. Then they participate in a panel interview before they're selected, and then we take all of that into consideration, and we try to make sure we look at the community and the culture of that school and try to place that principal in a school environment that's the best fit based on his or her experience. And earlier, I think we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the impacts. So we've had probably over 1,700 employees have administrative certification licenses in our district. We've had over 350 applicants per year for principal vacancies and over 700 applicants per year for assistant principal vacancies. And this has become a really coordinated effort with human resources. So as a principal or as a novice principal, some of the elements of your work probably has a lot to do with working with human resources in your school district. And so out of that work, when you're looking for new teachers and you're looking, it's also you're looking for someone with the best fit. So looking at their previous experience, where have they been, what have they done, and trying to find the right teacher to place in your school system is the same sort of thing. In your classrooms is the same thing that we did with the principals. And in my new work with the USDE grant, that's one of the things that we focus on is best fit for teacher placement. We know that a teacher that has prior experience with the type of learning environment that you want to place them in currently is key to them being an engaged employee and them being successful. So we try to make sure that we do that. So that's what selective hiring is. And now I'm going to talk about the evaluation and support piece, which I think is what everybody wants to hear. So as a new principal, what are some of the things or what are some of the professional learning that you should be engaged in that is going to help you with these practices and build your capacity in these particular areas? Again, we recognize that in the beginning, we as a school district, we had some gaps in the type of professional learning we were offering our novice principals as well as our principals who had been with us for some time. We were focusing a lot on the technical and really not enough time on the transformational. So we restructured our evaluation and support, and it looks a lot different than it did prior to 2011. And a couple of the things that we did, again, I said we adopted those leader standards, right? And those leader standards drove our professional learning that we offered all of our in-service principals. So anybody that was a novice or seasoned principal would be able to engage in these professional learning activities, which were designed and driven under the leader standards, which I said was aligned to the five practices as well as the national leader standards. So one of the things that we did was we designed a comprehensive principal induction program. And that looked like a two-year new principal academy. So that means that novice principals were asked to engage in monthly meetings that would focus on the needs of a novice principal. So the Comprehensive Principal Induction Program, and we call it for short CPIP, included a two-year new principals academy. And we focused a lot on the technical, but we also this time, after understanding we had some gaps, we focused on the transformational, which is how do I design and collaborate with my staff members on developing a mission and vision. Do I write that in my office alone? Do I host a group of team leaders in my building to help me think through how to develop a mission and vision in my school? Which one would be the better approach? And yes, collaborating with team leaders and developing a draft that would later be shared with the staff and getting input from the staff on what would be this driving factor, which would be the vision of their building or what they would like to see happen for teachers and students and families in their learning community. Yes, so we focused a lot on that in the new Principals Academy. How to coach teachers. A lot of novice teachers were not familiar with a well-developed coaching protocol. And so one of the things that we started is, introducing some coaching protocol. How do you talk to a teacher? How do you give effective feedback to teachers in your building? How do you start to identify the leaders in your building? What are the elements that you're looking for in leaders within your teaching ranks so that you can start delegating some sort of leadership to them so that they can start to be groomed and conditioned to start being able to do things on their own. So eventually, if they decided to move into teacher leadership and become an assistant principal, they will have that opportunity as well. We also supported our new principals with giving them job alike coaching and mentoring. And we did this through a partnership with NAESP. We identified earlier on NAESP as a partner, and they helped us to develop a mentoring module that would work for us. And most of our certified PGCPS administrators who decided they would like to be a mentor, they went through the NAESP mentoring certification program. And these mentors were assigned a new principal in our district, and they stayed with them the entire year so that they could help and support them as they were groomed, through their first novice year. You know, the first year is tough for anybody. So principal, new teacher, anybody that's new to a role, it's always a tough year to have that person you could go to and ask specific questions, or who could model for you, or who could come in and give you feedback and watched how you were having conversation with your staff and the things that you were doing. That's what the Job Alike Mentor would offer. And then we also added to that later on in 2013 or 2014, we added Job Alike Coaches. So the coaches were able to come in and specifically work with the novice principals around particular skills. So could be any one of the practices. It could be something technical on, how do I better manage my school-based budget. It could be any of those things, and the coaches would work with those principals as needed however long as was needed to get them to get to the point of where they felt comfortable with that. And then on top of that, we hosted monthly systemic meetings. The systemic meetings could be generated around initiatives in the district. It could be generated around specific things that the principals may have said that they wanted to learn more about. So we had all of these different things going on for novice principals as well as for all of our principals. A couple of the things that stood out when you think about the five practices for me and what we did maybe specifically around a couple of them is for improving instruction. And I remember there was a question around that. So improving instruction, effective leaders We want them to be able to spend the majority of their times in the school building around improving instruction. But we found that that was difficult. A lot of the managerial things and the time-consuming, the technical things were consuming a lot of their time. And so with that, 3 years ago, we decided to incorporate something called SAMS, and I don't know if any of you all are familiar with it, but it's called the school. SAMS starts with the school administrative manager, and it's a tool and it's a resource that's offered through an external company that allows the principal to be able to gauge his or her time on his or her time around how much they spent in the classrooms of their buildings. And it was a really, really eye-opening piece of work, because each of the novice principals who engaged in this work had to collect a baseline set of data first about where their time was spent. And when a lot of those principals looked at their time, they realized some of the smallest amount of time that they spent in their 8, 9 hour, sometimes 10 hour day was not in the classroom. So this tool and resource helped them to refocus and generate time where they can orchestrate their time throughout the day, where they spent more of their time instructionally. And you can go to the SAMS Connect website to learn a little bit more about the resource and tool there. But it really was helpful, and we decided to embed that work into our new Principals Academy as well. And then we also said, well, collaborative planning was usually one of the pieces where you could have not been spending time with your teachers, and you could have been talking about things like student behavior instead of talking about instructional practices. So we sort of reframed the collaborative planning piece around looking at data points, looking at what's going on with the students that teachers share across a team. So that took some time and effort, where we worked with the principals, especially the novice principals, how to craft a schedule that was conducive for having those types of conversations, those collaborative planning conversations with your staff. And so that was part of the training that we offered in our new Principals Academies as well. So again, there was lots of work around supporting and evaluating the principals. And one of the things that we did was we reshaped our evaluation system. So again, putting all these things into place, we wanted to make sure that we were evaluating the principals fairly and intentionally around the things that they were doing. And so we adopted the VALED evaluation system, which allowed for a 360 evaluation, whereas the principals themselves get an opportunity to rate how they feel they're doing. The supervisor of that principal gets an opportunity to rate themselves, as well as teachers get an opportunity to rate the principal. So they would have this data set that would allow them to reflect on all areas of where they supported. And it really was, I think, informational for them to see and to speak about, or to be able to have an opportunity to speak to their supervisors about what the teachers are saying about them, or, you know, and what they thought they were doing, as well as what the supervisor said. So it allowed for some robust conversation around evaluating. One of the things that we encouraged, again, all of our principals to do with their supervisors is to always sit down and to talk through what are your goals, what are your objectives for the year, and then making sure they had continuous conversation. One of the things that we found in our practice was doing the goal setting in the beginning and then only talking about it at the end of the time was not a very helpful process to that principal developing his or her skill set. So having frequent small conversations around the goals throughout the year and being able to monitor and manage the progress of that new teacher. The leadership coach can help with that. The mentor can help with that. So having that collaborative conversation with all of those folks, that principal was able to be more focused and intentional about his or her professional learning and development. Hence, at the end, would hopefully end up in positive evaluation ratings. So all of that is part of, again, how I believe you can tie all of these things in that you as a novice principal can enhance your skill set, have some more of the central office lens of how this all works, so that you can specifically now go in and maybe go back to your school district and say, hey, here are some of the things that I would like to see put in place to support me as a new principal. Or if you're a seasoned principal, here are some of the things that I would like to learn more about and grow more in, that could help me with leading my staff. So I wanted to make sure that I touched on everything here that would possibly help with your having more conversations with the work. And then I want to just talk a little bit briefly about, and you can go to the next slide. I want to kind of give you guys an opportunity to respond to the poll question, and then I'm just going to talk about systemically how this has helped us in other areas as well. So.
Okay, so I will take the poll from here. I'm going to go ahead and launch the poll. The question is, which of the following practices has your school district not provided training in? And we've listed the five key areas, and I will launch that right now. And if you would take a moment to, and you don't have to just pick one area. If there's more than one, you can pick more than one. So if you would, we'll share that out, and I'll give it about 30 seconds here. It's wonderful information, Damaris.
I'm glad. Thank you, Honor. I hope I was helpful to someone today.
So as people are filling this out, let me just ask a question. Now, you used the grant money to basically establish this, right?
Yes.
How now that the grant is over, are there plans in place for sustaining this, or how do you sustain this?
Great question, Honor. So, again, as I mentioned earlier, part of our grant work was to build a sustainability plan. So one of the things that we had to look for early on were what are the key levers we were going to sustain in this work. And I'm happy to say that all of our programs and the services that we deliver to teacher leaders, that we deliver to our assistant principals, that we deliver to our principals are still in place. So our assistant principals leadership academy, our university partnerships are still in place. Our comprehensive induction program for principals are still in place. So all of those things that I've mentioned to you are still being run and operated just utilizing school district funds. So we were very intentional about that. Even though we had all of these external partners to help us get started, very early on we stated to them we wanted to own all of our programs because we need to be able to afford the continuation of this type of support and development of our principals going forward without having to pay outside external partners.
That's wonderful. Okay, so for those of you that have not done the poll, if you would just type in your response. Otherwise, I will close it down and right now. I'm going to close that and share the results. So it looks like, I don't know if you can see my screen, that audience view, but it looks like 50% of the folks said shaping a vision was the one area that
wow.
They have not gotten a lot of training in.
Wow.
Yeah.
and that's eye-opening because, again, I think It is very, it's a technical piece of the work, and you hear about it, you read about it in the coursework that you take, and you know, trying to get your licensure and all of that. But again, no one really sits down and says, okay, so how do I put this nice big poster up about this is my vision for my school, but how do I massage this and work this and embed this into the culture and the learning environment of my school? And so that's not an unusual result, sad to say, but that's not an unreasonable response to that particular question.
So tell us how you, your district has done that.
So I said we spend a lot more time talking about that in while they're assistant principals. So I talked to you about the Assistant Principals Leadership Academy, having that to be a two-year program. Then I talked about the ALPS program, where they get to actually go out and do a lot of case studies and do this work at a school, and they get feedback from others. So it's more or less where they get to do trial runs of practicing these skills and then get feedback from, the supervisors or their colleagues on how well they've done it or how well they're doing it. And then we have the resident principalship, where again, a select group of assistant principals are developed or are selected for that. And they get to do it in part one in the beginning of the semester with the principal as their coach. They're completely focused on just shadowing and watching the principal do that. And then the second half of the school year, they have to lead the charge and continue the work of shaping the vision all on their own. And they're resident principals. They're not officially the principal, because at the end of the year, they go back to either being an assistant principal or they get their own school. So they have this job embedded practice, I want to say. So we've learned that just talking about it and reading about it is not helpful at all. They have to practice it in real time.
That's wonderful. Amy writes that her district uses the Wallace 5 for their aspiring principals program. So it's interesting that it looks like that is starting to carry over to other districts.
Yep. It really is the foundation of the work when you're trying to create a pipeline of quality potential candidates for principalship. And it has to start when they're teacher leaders. So for all of the principals on this webinar now, if you are taking a look at who your leaders are in the building right now and you're trying to shape or cultivate that leadership, having them do or practice some of these the Wallace 5 and some of the things that they're doing currently in your buildings will be helpful. Because I don't feel that these are exclusive to principals. These things can be done within internal programs within your school. Whomever's the coordinator or the sponsor or the leader, they can start to do some of these and giving them practice, so when they get into the pipeline, they've already had some practical experience with some of these practices within your own building. And last but not least, I wanted to share a graphic that we use in our district. So again, one of the pieces with us is all of the work that we do in the district, whether it's with the TSL grant, whether it's with the Wallace grant that we have, we try to make sure that it's always focused on the instructional core. That means the student, the teacher, and the content engaging together for positive results. And so with that, we wrapped it around our key levers for making that happen. And we said that's high performing workforce, a focus on academic excellence, having an organizational effectiveness, family and community, engaging them in all that we do, and having a safe and supportive environment. That really talks about how we planned all of the work that we did. So this wasn't just by chance. We were focusing intentionally on those three things, and we knew we needed to make a place for everybody to see themselves impacting that inner core. And so that's what the 5 practices for effective principals is doing. That's what the work that I'm doing currently with the teacher leaders are doing. So again, any advice you can give to your to your school systems is to come up with something that's going to align all the work that they're doing for the school system. And with that being said, I think that's the end of my time with you all. I want to, you know, open it up for Q&A. If there's any specifics that you may have thought about as I was sharing, please feel free to ask any questions at this particular time.
Well, in the meantime, as people are writing in, I just want to thank you so much, Damaris, for sharing these things. I think there are a lot of these things that you mentioned that can be implemented even if you don't have a Wallace grant.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we say this all the time, Honor. We say, you know, a lot of these things we started and we were doing before Wallace. What Wallace has afforded us, which we are so grateful for, that they allowed us to be able, we were allowed to expedite a lot of the things because of the financial support that we got through the grant. So it was really, we were really fortunate to have the funds, but I do believe that a school district can do a lot of this work without, without grant funding.
Right. Right. Well, again, I think our time is up. Thank you so much, Damaris. Thank you, everyone, for participating. This webinar has been recorded and will be on the NAES website for our members. Thank you again.
Thank you, Honor. Thank you all. Have a great day.